This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Collar is here. He's Matthew Collar. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mr. Purple Insider. PurpleInsider.football. Okay, we've touched on this before, but you explore it at PurpleInsider.football. The two paths the Vikings and Bears have taken since they fired coaches and brought in a new regime. And the idea of, okay, do you just tear it all down? Do you make trades, bottom out, try to get cap room and build up? That's the approach the Bears have taken so far. Whereas the Vikings, and some of this, as you know, was Wilf required. The Wilfs were blaming Zimmer. They were blaming Spielman, maybe to a lesser degree. Felt like there still was enough talent. They didn't want to drop off. So when they interviewed Kwesi and they talked about what would his approach to be, to landing a coach, they felt like what was competitive rebuild, right, and stay there. How do you appraise where those two teams are as we have that conversation now, since they're meeting on Sunday, and at least at this point, the Vikings this year have the clear-cut better record?
Yeah, I think from a roster building perspective, both general managers have done an amazing job. The fact that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was handcuffed off the start to try to compete in that 2022 season, and they get 13 wins out of it. We all kind of know that that team wasn't really as maybe good as their record, but still nonetheless. And then for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah to truly stick to those words, competitive rebuild, and move on from a lot of very popular players is the shifting point in the organization, where it's move on from Kendricks, Cook, Adam Thielen, those guys, and then eventually lay the foundation to move on from Kirk Cousins, which again is huge for his entire timeline and building the team. And then to be able to go into this free agency, use that money for moving on from Kirk Cousins to build up the team quickly again through very good free agency moves, including Sam Darnold, but also, you know, the defensive players that they've brought in. And on the other side, I think that Ryan Poles executed the tank extremely well. The trade with Carolina is unbelievable to get the number one overall pick. The fact that they were able to go into also get DJ Moore and into the draft and get Rome Odunze, a great wide receiver. They spent some money on their defensive side. They were able to keep Jalen Johnson. All that stuff is really, really good from the Bears. The big difference between the two is the head coach that they hired. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah hit a Jose Canseco home run out of the park, whereas Matt Eberflus is probably getting fired.
He's gone.
And that is the entire difference. The head coach, as we know from Mike Zimmer, sets the entire tone for the organization. Kevin O'Connell is brilliant at that. Matt Eberflus has no idea what he's doing when it comes to that. Hired the wrong offensive coordinator to pair with Caleb Williams and set them back already. And then when they've run into some issues, they have seemed to fall apart as a team. So it has been a rough ride for them because of that one mistake by Ryan Poles. But I think if they get their next hire right, then watch out, because they have a lot of really good players.
So let me go there, because there's a guy on TV right now who, by the way, is very good on TV, but he's also a fairly good coach. I don't know if you've heard of him, Bill Belichick. And his name comes up with some prominent spots, the Cowboys, the Giants. You know, what is he? He's 15 wins short of Shula for the all-time record. Yes, he's going to want total power. He's not going to get it. What about Bill Belichick with Caleb Williams and all that talent offensively, defensively with the Chicago Bears, would our guy, Kevin Warren, maybe require Ryan Poles to go big game hunting and tell Poles he still has the power, but Belichick is going to be his coach?
My first impression is that that would be insane, because I don't think that you want to pair Bill Belichick with a Gen Z quarterback. I mean, I really think that Tom Brady came up in a completely different era of the NFL that was coached totally differently than you coach quarterbacks now. What you see with Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy, that's how quarterbacks are coached these days. I think it's one of the reasons that Brian Flores and Tua didn't work out in Miami is that Flores tried to coach him like Belichick coached Brady, and you just can't do that these days. And I look at somebody like Cliff Kingsbury as, I don't think he was the best coach the first time around in Arizona, but they were in the playoffs. Kyler Murray did have some good years, and he's a younger coach who's done a great job with a young quarterback in Washington so far. That would be more along the lines of somebody I'd be looking at. Bobby Slowick from the Houston Texans, as another guy's worked with a young quarterback and succeeded. I would be thinking that direction, because what the Vikings have is worth its weight in gold to pair your head coach with your franchise quarterback. That's the Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's the dream. Or even, you know, Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan over these last couple of years. You want your head coach, the same scheme, the same language. You don't want to be succeeding and then losing your offensive coordinator. I mean, look at the guys that I just mentioned, defensive head coaches who lose their offensive coordinators the minute they're good, and then the quarterback has to adjust to somebody completely new every single time you're making a change. So I wouldn't look at Belichick if I were them. I think maybe if you're a team that has a veteran quarterback that has underachieved and is ready to win or needs someone to turn around the franchise, maybe. I also think Belichick is an incredible media personality.
I do too. I really do.
Just keep doing that. Just keep doing that.
He's really good. He's underrated, self-deprecating. He lets individuals poke fun at him. I hope he stays. But we both know this. We've been around these guys our whole lives. They're addicted to it. They want the score. They want the practice. They want the anguish. They want the next meeting. I agree with everything you said about the approach. I just think somebody is going to look at that resume, fair or not. I mean, if I'm Belichick and I got the option of the Cowboys, Giants, or the Bears, I'm calling Kevin Warren every day and saying, hey, Kevin, I can take over. I'm not sure Kevin should do it for everything you said, but, you know, Josh McDaniels can't be a head coach, but he's viewed fairly favorably as offense coordinator. So let's get back to this part, because I saw this stat a couple times this week, and I get it that last week with two tremendous inside tackles for the Titans, it's tough to purely evaluate the Vikings running game last week. But I heard Alec Lewis sitting in today with PA. I saw it that I think it's since week five, rush per yardage, I think you've had this before too, that the Vikings have the lowest rushing average in the game. Okay, so Titans, let's just acknowledge they're great. But the plenty of those teams they've played weren't great. Is this just about the interior of the offensive line for the Vikings? Or is Aaron Jones injured and he's just not quite the same he was the first three, four games of the year?
Well, first of all, I don't know why you'd listen to FM radio. I don't think the signal just worked for me.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, but
can we get to FM before the show is done? Can we get that happen?
The run game, it's, all coaches would say, a combination of things, but it really is. I think number one is that Christian Darrisaw is the best run-blocking left tackle in the NFL. I used to say not including Trent Williams, but maybe even including Trent Williams with his current state. Darrisaw was that dominant this year. He was unbelievable. And that's just not Cam Robinson. He's never been a great run blocker. It's probably one of the reasons why the Jaguars don't want to give him a contract extension. But, I mean, he's doing great considering what they're asking for him and who else they would have there. But it's nowhere close And I don't blame the right guard for last week's game. And I also didn't think I never thought Ed Ingram was this special run blocker that some people made him out to be. PFF has him in the bottom third of the league in run blocking. So, but Risner, that's not his specialty. And those guys, Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, aren't just good. They are the best of the best on the interior. So that was certainly part of it. I also think Aaron Jones is playing banged up. And I remember us talking the first couple weeks, and I kept saying, I'm a little worried about the workload. I'm a little worried about the workload. And then here we are, sort of reminiscent of 2022 when Dalvin Cook was great for the first half and then faded in the second. The reality is, without the offensive line looking like it did over the first 5 weeks with Darisaw in there, you're just not going to run people over very often. I think what they need is enough to create a grindy running game that could get 4 or 5 yards and just get successful plays. It's probably not going to break out 30, 40, 50-yard runs. I would like to see just a shade of Ty Chandler in there with some burst, because I don't think that Akers or Jones has the same level of quickness as him, but he's the coach is lost on him, I guess. I'd like to see a little more creativity, a little more eye candy, moving parts. But there's no answer. There's no easy answer. The answer is to increase the screen game, which has disappeared, to increase the quick passing game.
Why has the screen game disappeared?
The only thing I can think of is that it's the way that defenses have played against them, because they were so successful on screens. And if I remember this right, it's harder to play. It's harder to run screens against zone, but it's easier to run them against man. And these teams are playing these crazy deep zones against Justin Jefferson, so they might feel like it's harder to run it. But I'm with you. Where did it go? Why did it go?
Yeah.
Because even when they've run it, it's done okay. They just don't run it a lot. And I think that's an O'Connell adjustment that needs to be made. Quick passes to Jordan Addison, I'd like to see that continue from a little bit of that last week. Maybe get, you know, your Brandon Powell's involved. I mean, it's kind of going to have to be a group effort to make up for the fact that they're not going to be a dominant run team.
I got to let you go after this segment because I need to jump in on the Timberwolves and the fiasco last night in Toronto. But I'm going to tell you also, you and Cronin, always great. Thoroughly enjoyed that. It's worth watching, including the math issues. The math issues were very funny.
You know, Courtney is a brilliant person and a tremendous talent, but when she's asked to do a pie chart and just add up four things to 100%, it just all goes to hell. I don't know. Right. It
breaks. By 30%, she missed it. I mean, that's a lot.
It was a big miss. It was a tough rep. Tough rep.
It was funny. It's worth checking out. Checking all the information out, Purple Insider. Okay, last thing. Last week, no, it was Monday, I said, okay, which fast food place are you going to? And you said you and Sloan were going to a favorite Mexican place. Today, are you avoiding fast food? Are you going to have a nice meal? Are you going back to Taco Bell or whatever might be your go-to?
So I already had Wendy's today. Okay, so we did
solid.
That.
Yeah. Did you get the Frosty?
I did that. I didn't. I just had a couple of junior bacon cheeseburgers. I don't know what the plan is for tonight. I'm going to a concert. Joe Bonamassa downtown.
Oh, very good. Yeah, where at?
State Theater.
Oh, that sounds really good. I'm checking my phone. Must have missed the invite. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Collar 21-2. The Wolves. Panic level. What should it be? Let's discuss when we come back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't remember the last time we did this, an entire hour straight sports, but it just worked out that way with Billy Guerin unavailable yesterday with his Team USA duties. But Bill Guerin, the Wild president and GM, is going to join us in about 10 minutes. My plan initially was call it for a segment, get away from sports, and then go back with Guerin, but the Timberwolves require it. Timberwolves traveled to Toronto yesterday. And just to put it in perspective, the last time the Wolves won in Toronto, I was still broadcasting their games. I walked away because Quinton's health issues, but I was still broadcasting their games. The last time the Wolves won in Boston, I was broadcasting their games. Losing to the Boston Celtics, the world champions, if they lose on Sunday, and it's a 2:30 start, that's incredibly different than losing to a woeful, beleaguered, injured, before last night, 3-12 Toronto Raptors team. That was an embarrassing loss. The season has had a few high moments. Wins over Dallas and Denver were very entertaining. Randall hitting a big shot the other day over Phoenix. By the way, Phoenix playing without Durant and Beal. But 8-7, when you've played a soft schedule, isn't even close to acceptable. And again, I was there for every second of it in 04 when they acquired Sprewell and Cassell, and they were 9-8, and had a meeting and said, stop worrying about each other. Play your game, and they went on to win 58 games. And Conley took a chance. The Knicks had approached the Wolves forever on Towns, and eventually he made the deal, which I applauded. And it was some money, but it was plenty of money, by the way, but it was also get deeper in adding Randall, who I've never loved, and adding DiVincenzo, who I thought the last couple of years was better. Now, I didn't hate Randall. I thought Towns was better, but I thought the combination and the versatility, I thought it was worth it. So far, I'm wrong. But it's early, okay? But here's what's not early, because it's 15 games, it's 82 games. This season is judged solely by what they do in the playoffs. They set that bar last year by going to the Western Conference Finals, dismissing the Suns, phenomenal comeback in Game 7, Denver, then getting swept by Dallas. But this is defined by the playoffs, and that's still months and months away. But when you have the two Randall-Gobert moments last night, it is absolutely worth talking about. Because I don't think the second play is getting enough. The first play, if you pay attention to the Wolves, you probably spotted where ball gets in Randall's hands. He's just right at the top of the key. And Rudy, who's not a good postal player, not at all, but he gets just a quick pin down. He's got Scotty Barnes, a nice player, but Scotty Barnes is, what, 6'6"? And Gobert has him right in front of the rim. That is an automatic, unless you're down three, that is an automatic, here's your center. He's got a smaller guy trapped a foot from the rim. There's nobody else in front of Randall outside the defense player. And Randall, who's a very skilled passer, can pass the ball, and he doesn't do it. And Rudy pouts. Rudy just trudges off the floor. The funniest comparison I saw is similar to Joe Biden walking in the Amazon forest at about the same space. And Rudy deserves to be ripped for getting a three-second call. And Edwards went at him. Now, the ironic thing is the first year that the Wolves played Denver and they lost, there was example after example after example after example in that series where Anthony Edwards would not pass the ball to a wide-open Rudy Gobert. But then last year, they worked together, okay, and they were better. End of the game. They're down by five. Randall, again, good ball handler. Comes down, and where is he? At about the free throw line? And throws a pass about the same speed of a Griffin Jacks fastball right at Rudy Gobert's knees to embarrass him. To embarrass him. I don't think it was quiet in the locker room afterwards. Let me just say that as an informed individual. So, what's the alarm? If you got players 15 games in who are demonstrating this sort of dissension on the floor, that's a bleeping issue. Because it's not your ninth and tenth guys, although those guys never play. That's another issue. We'll get to in a second. But when Randall and Gobert are having that issue, and God knows Gobert can fumble and stumble passes inside unlike anybody. But if he's not on the floor right now defensively, they're awful. And when he gets into it and when he's one-on-one, he's good. He's still highly inconsistent as a defense player. And Randall's never been a good defensive player. And Randall working with Gobert, not good. Randall working with Nas, terrible. So Rudy can drive you nuts, but just look up numbers defensively where they're at with Gobert on the defensive end. And then I'll just say one other thing. We were told over and over again what a deep roster this was. Finch isn't playing, guys. And they're not going great. So this is a time you try to do different things. And I am a fan of Finch. I'm a fan of Conley. And I thought the trade made sense, and maybe it still will. But there's some alarm bells ringing, and I don't get it. Finch should go deeper with this bench. There's no reason to be playing eight guys, and maybe it's nine now with Dillingham, when you're playing this poorly. So they're worth watching, and I get it. Things can change quickly, but there's some alarm bells going on. Bill Guerin, his team is sailing right now. He's next. All right, Mr. Guerin is here, and he should be a happy man because his team continues to play outstanding hockey. They have the second most points in the league. They have the best road record in the league. I will tell you, last night, sir, I'm coming home from a little dinner, and I'm listening to Joe and Tom on the radio. They're excellent as always, and Kaprizov gets hurt. And I get home pretty quickly after that, and by the time I go from my car to the couch to watch, Kaprizov is back in the game. As you were watching the play, what were your thoughts when Kirill went down the way he did?
I was not happy.
Did you think it was a cheap hit?
I didn't like the hit.
Sounds like you thought he stuck the right knee out.
I don't know if he stuck it out. I just didn't like the hit. It's when you have a player coming at you in a neutral zone like that. It's very, especially a guy as shifty as Kirill. It's very hard to hit them straight on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's going to try to go around you, and players are going to try to get a piece, and that's just what happens, you know? And yeah. So I'm not with the team. I haven't talked to our trainer yet today, but I will. And I think he's fine. I don't like those hits regardless, but you know, look, this guy's putting together, you know, an amazing season right now, and he's our best player. And anytime any one of our players are hit like that, I'm concerned and I get mad.
So let me pick up on a little bit what Tom was saying. In fact, they were lip reading John Hines, where they thought John was saying, you have to protect stars. You have to protect stars. We've watched this over the years. You were a star yourself, right? Where teams are going to run at certain players, and then teammates respond. Boldy, another one of your stars, responded. Where is that balance of, well, teams have to protect everybody, but the league has to watch when the opposing team is taking a run, and it's not just a clean hit. Maybe it's not even a borderline clean hit, but it's a dirty hit, and you know they're doing this in particular because so-and-so is just that good.
Yeah, there's a line I don't think you can cross with any player in the league, but I do think that with he is a superstar in our game. The game is better with him in it, not on the injured reserve. It's better for the game. It's better for our team. It's better for business. It's better for the league. So I do think at some level we need to look after the star players. It doesn't mean they can't be touched. It doesn't mean they don't have to play through traffic or in ugly areas. But look, at not looking for anybody to get suspended or anything, like, there should have been at least a penalty.
Yeah, and there was nothing.
That's, and you know what? I understand it too. Look, the game's moving fast. You want to make sure it's called properly. But when you're sitting in, you know, when you're watching the game and you see your star player go down like that, you get mad, and especially when there's no accountability and there's no consequence like that. That can get frustrating.
I saw this note from Russo on Twitter where 5-on-5 goals, goals per game. I go both. I mean, I'm a traditionalist. I never say, though, I don't say X, formerly known as Twitter.
You know,
exactly. I just go X or Twitter, right? I'm done with the comment. But 5-on-5 goals per game, you're the best in the league at 1.37. I know it's always going to be a combination of a lot of things, but if you had to say one area why you were so good with those numbers, is it just goaltending or is it something different?
What was the stat?
5-on-5 goals per game. You're the best team in the league allowing 1.37 goals per game when it's just without a penalty, straight up 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, goaltending is a big part of it, but not the only thing. I think it's a lot of things. It's goaltending, it's team defense, it's ability to come out of our own end and not spend a lot of time in our own end. It's puck management, limiting turnovers, playing in the offensive zone. There's a lot that goes into these stats. It's not just one thing.
Of all those areas, Billy, where are you most improved from last year?
The puck management.
Yep.
I think the puck management.
How come?
I think John has done an excellent job of communicating to the players how important, not just how important puck management is, but the consequences of not managing the puck and the rewards of managing the puck.
Are there certain players who are notably better at that this year, or is it more just collective?
To a man, every single one of them.
Yep.
Every single one of them. They've done a fantastic job of listening and really hearing what John has to say and carrying it out. And when you start seeing the rewards, you believe in it more and more and more.
Billy Guerin is here. He's the president, hockey operations, and the general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Their role in second most points in the league. Fleury gives up a fluky goal. That happens. But then he plays very well. But, you know, I could give you more of his numbers. They're amazing. I mean, now he's started 1,000 games. He passes Patrick Waugh. It's just stunning. He's going to turn 40 next week. How do you think he's held up this year when he knows, because of the way Gus is playing, he's not going to play a lot? And he hadn't played in 2 weeks until he started last night.
He's been great. He's been exactly like you would expect him to be. And look, he is a team player. He's a fantastic teammate. And he's ready when called upon, and he knows that that is his role right now. You know, look, he's helped Gus a lot too, and I know he's happy to see Gus playing as well as he is. So, yeah, I mean, no surprise to me that he is doing what he's doing. Like, he just, yeah, he's just a great team. He's a professional. Like, he goes to work every night, whether he's backing up or starting. He's going to work every single night, and that's why he's lasted so long.
Excruciating injury for Zuccarello. Can you give us any update how he's holding up at this point?
He's doing better than he was last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Marcus's comments, and it was that is not
wow.
That is, you know, the poor guy. He was in a lot of pain.
I can't imagine.
Glad things worked out, and it was.
Do we need to reinforce the cup? Do we need a stronger cup in the NHL?
Apparently he needed to reinforce his.
Jeez. Oh my.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular?
I was talking to an executive on another team recently, just after that happened, and he said, "Yeah, we had a player that happened to as well, but he never wore a cup."
Okay.
And I couldn't.
Why?
I couldn't believe it.
Ooh, I'd cut him. I mean, seriously. I'm like,
yeah, I would have too. And I'm like, I would have cut or traded him or something because, like, you're obviously the stupidest person.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I just don't get it.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah.
Just doing a radio show.
I
wear
should.
One.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of your viewers would like to.
Yes. Take a shot. That's
yeah, your viewers, your listeners.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's uncool.
You know what? The bottom line is that we can laugh because Zuki's going to be okay. It stinks that he's out, but you know he's a huge part of our team, and it was scary.
Give me your assessment of Marco Rossi and how he's played this season.
Marco's played really well. You know, again, he keeps. You know what? He's making a lot more plays. Like he's getting into the area where he excels, and that's the offensive zone, and making the little plays that create big opportunities. You know, he drives in deep, cuts back, finds late guys. Obviously, two-way game has always been good with Marco, or at least the effort's always there. I like his game, and he is. He's producing.
I'm not sure if you're aware of that, of this news, but earlier today I was declared the Thanksgiving czar for the United States of America.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'd.
Really?
Yeah, I'd like. Congratulations, first of all, would be appreciated.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'd love to speak to the voters.
Yeah, it was unanimous. Unanimous. I was the only voter. So,
how did that come about? How did you win this? How did you win this election?
I'm like most dictators. I just declared myself the winner. Right? I mean, I held the contest. Nobody else. If anybody else entered it, they would have been killed. Or they would have had to play hockey without a cup. I have declared. I've declared.
Are you going to do? Oh, so this is perfect. Yeah. You're going to be like. You're going to be like WKRP in Cincinnati and have a turkey giveaway.
We were talking about
the window.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. So we're not going to talk before Thanksgiving. If I said you were required to remove one traditional Thanksgiving food from the Guerin family, what food are you removing?
Green beans.
Oh, get out of here. Come on, the green beans. You are going to have to meet in front.
Or the salad, but I don't really eat the salad.
Salad.
The green beans.
No, you're wrong. The correct answer is turkey. The turkey is dry, it's dull, it's nondescript. We're falling under Thanksgiving pressure.
I hope your wife isn't the one that cooks a turkey because you're in big trouble, pal.
No one cooks a delicious turkey. It's maybe like, it gets to average.
Oh, you're doing it wrong.
You know who you're afraid of? Big Turkey. You're afraid of taking on Big Turkey, aren't you?
I'm not afraid.
I think you are.
Turkey is.
I've never heard you more unsettled and more uncertain since you've been called out by Big Turkey. I mean, it's sad.
This is you're trying to change the hot like turkey. Who like that's the main thing?
No, it's not. It shouldn't be. Ham
stuffing
better.
In our
brisk.
House. Stuffing in our house is the main thing.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Turkey to
you're right.
Second.
Do you have one stuffing? Like, la-di-da. Oldest boy is now the chef. He's so good. He makes two stuffings. He makes one that's spicy. And I'm all for the spicy stuffing.
No. Traditional. My grandmother's recipe.
Well, I can't.
It's the best.
I can't really rip your grandma at this point, can I? I mean, it's kind of tough.
You better not.
All right.
You better not. It's the best, and it is the best for turkey sandwiches later that night.
Yeah. The turkey sandwich is redeeming, but go to somebody else's house the next thing and get the turkey. Which pie, real quick, which pie? Number. You only have one pie. Which pie do you want?
My mom's cheesecake recipe.
Once again, wrong again. It's pecan pie. You are going to meet.
No, and we have one of those too. Chocolate pecan and is it pecan or pecan?
I'm a pecan guy, but I mean,
all right. I can buy either.
Yeah, I can. All right, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk soon.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Billy Guerin here on CCO. It's a long segment. It's almost over already. Linda's construction time check. It's time for me to shut up. And it's time to get a free heat map analysis with an insulation estimate. Jason, next.